Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Kind of the privilege to worship with you and to join in this service. That last song kind of introduces somewhat what we want to look at this morning. It gives some thoughts that there are things that we enjoy here, but they're tempered. We have some peace, but it is tempered by the things around us. There we have joy, but it's touched with pain. And we look forward, and the last verse, it says, we are amply blessed, but we can never find, although we seek a perfect rest, and never shall until we lean on Jesus' breast. And so we, while we enjoy things here, it's only through Christ that we can have these things. And so we want to look at five things that are only through Jesus Christ our Lord. And some of these, as I said, the song kind of brings out some, but the song gives them in the context of our Christian living. But some of those, a few of these things are going to be realized in a very small measure, a very temporal measure, by the world, but we can only experience them in the fullness through Jesus Christ our Lord. So open your Bibles to Romans 5 and we'll get started. And these are things that we seek after. These are things I think that the world seeks after, but they are looking in the wrong places. We think of joy. We'll get to that a little later, but it is things that is something that the world seeks. You know, they want to have their joy. They want to have, they call it happiness. They want to have it, and they can experience it in a very small measure, but it's a very short-lived measure as well, a very temporal measure. But for the child of God, it is something that we experience in life, and we do find that in a very much fuller measure. So the title, Only Through Our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think till we get to the end, I want us to understand that it's only through him that we can have these, and it's only through him that these things can be evident in our lives. And as we have them, they should be evident. As we find them in Christ Jesus, they should be evident in our lives, and it's because of him. And so when people ask a reason for the hope that lies in us, we can point them to Christ and not just say, well, it's because of this, but it's because of Jesus that we can experience these things. So Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, all of these that we're looking at this morning give that thought, and I think they pretty much all say that it's through Jesus Christ our Lord, or something that's very similar wording. And so Paul here, in writing to the Romans, he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So our first thing that we're looking at is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here he also gives another thought. He says we have access to grace through Jesus Christ as well. And as we think of being justified by faith and having peace with God, what does it mean to be justified? Well, to be justified is to be counted righteous, is to have our sins forgiven. We are counted righteous before God. And that is what brings this peace. And so this peace is a result of justification through faith. And as we put our faith and trust in God, we know that the world seeks peace. We know that we were seeking peace. That's oftentimes what helps us to realize our standing before God is the lack of peace, the lack of knowing that things are right between us and God, or between us and those around us. We realize that there's no peace there. And the Bible tells us there's no peace for the wicked. And so while they seek for peace, it's only through our Lord Jesus Christ that we can be justified and as a result have this peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He also says we also have an access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And again, this access by faith into the grace is what brings about the justification as well. And so it's kind of a three-step thing that he's laying out here. We have access by faith into grace. We are then justified by this faith, and that in turn brings this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, many look for peace, but true peace only comes as a result of being justified through faith in Jesus. Justification and grace bring a true and lasting peace that nothing else can. And just recently in the news, we were reading about some peace treaty signed, right? There's this peace treaty signed between Israel and Hamas, and President Trump, he says this is, I kind of forget how he said it, but he's like, he thinks this will bring a lasting peace, an eternal peace. Well, we know that, yeah, that's not going to happen. The peace of this world has to offer is not an eternal peace. It's a very fragile peace at best. And when people face it in reality, sometimes it lasts less than 24 hours. They can sign a peace treaty, and just within a day's time, that can be broken. And that's just the nature of the peace that the world has to offer. It is something that's very fragile, and both parties have to agree to it fully. But the peace we have with God as we give our lives, as we are justified, can be a lasting peace as we live in God and seek Him. John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And I had to think about that. The peace that the world gives, also it's contingent. Well, we say it's contingent on both parties, and our peace with God is that way too, but it's not that God will renege on the deal. God will not go back on that deal and say, no, I'm changing it up, you can't have this. No, it's totally on our part if we lose that peace. And so that is another difference between the peace that the world offers and the peace that God offers, the peace that we can have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, "I'm giving you peace. I'm leaving you peace." And it was troubling times for the disciples as Jesus was coming to the end of his life here on earth. And John 14:15, 16, 17 all deal with this. Jesus trying to prepare them for his leaving, and he was going away, and they were grasping, trying to figure out what was going on. And Jesus kept reassuring them that I'm leaving you, and it's to your benefit, but you can have peace even in the midst of all this. You can have this peace. He says, don't let your heart be troubled over what I'm saying. John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so, while the circumstances around us may not be ideal, while the people may not understand us, while things are going, it seems like chaos, and as we, if we spend a lot of time looking at the national picture or the world picture, we can be robbed of peace. We can be worried. But Jesus said, you can expect that. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Things aren't going to be going right. But he says, I have overcome the world. In other words, there is something greater that I am leaving you so that you can have peace. And I'm reassuring you. I'm telling you all this so that you can have peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And so while the world seems to be falling apart, while peace seems to be fleeting in the world, we can live lives in peace. Because in Christ we can have peace. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only through our Lord Jesus Christ that we can have this peace. Number two, drop down to verse 11. We'll back up just a little bit. Verse 10. For if, when ye were enemies, ye were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He says, we're reconciled. So we have this peace. We were reconciled by the death of his Son. He says, not only were we reconciled, not only do we have this peace, but we have joy in God. We have joy in God. Now, how does this come about? Well, if you want true and lasting joy in life, it comes through the death, resurrection, and the atonement we have in Christ. He says, we have joy, also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and by whom we have now received the atonement. And so again, it hinges back, this joy hinges back to directly in our relationship with Christ and in experiencing forgiveness of sins. It brings joy. It's because of salvation that he brings through his death and resurrection, and that brings joy in our lives. And if we read through scripture, we find out that it not only brings us joy, but it brings him joy. And there's joy in heaven, Jesus says, over one sinner that repents. And so there is great joy. Peter tells us that the trials that we face in life also work in us a greater love and praise for what he has done. 1 Peter 1:7-9, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so Peter tells us, again, just like the peace, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be trials in our lives, there's going to be things that are less than ideal. You know, normally we think of joy springing up when everything is going right and everything is going the way we want it to. And it brings us joy when that happens. We can be happy, we can be satisfied, relaxed. But that's not the case for the Christian. It's not always the case, because he says the trial of your faith is precious because it brings about an eternal perspective in life. And so we can face life with joy because of what Christ has done. And we are going to be found, he says. The joy comes from knowing that our life is in Christ is right with God. We are going to be found unto praise and honor and glory when Jesus comes again. And that brings us joy. He says it fills us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, as we think of the joy that the world offers, there's billboards, there's all kinds of advertisements, there's products out there that leave the picture of happy people, and they're just having a joyful time together, and it's all because of this one thing. Maybe it's a drink or a gadget or the latest phone or whatever it is. It's this latest thing, this best thing, is going to fill your life with joy and happiness. And we know that that is very fleeting, because people that partake of the drink, for instance, you know, they may be laughing and feeling all kinds of joyful for the moment, but in the morning they suffer the consequences. It is just a very short thing. And the latest phone, you know, while you may be taking particular joy in all that it can do for you, and next month there's going to be a new phone out, and yours is not going to be the latest anymore. And so now to get the same joy, you have to upgrade. And so there's always things that stand in the way of a lasting joy in this world, a lasting happiness. It's just a fleeting thing, but for the child of God, it's an eternal thing, because we look forward. And it fills us with joy to know that our hearts are right with God, and he gives us joy in knowing that. It's peace and joy. And Peter tells us that it works together to an eternity. We look forward to an eternity, and that's what the last verse there, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so we have this joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have this joy in God because of what he's done for us. It's because of sins forgiven, And we know that in the end, we have eternity with him. The end of our faith, we receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of your souls. I think it's pointing to an eternity with God. And so this true and lasting joy comes through the atonement, through the sins forgiven, and it is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to chapter 6 of Romans. Start reading at verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says the wages of sin is death. And I'm sure everyone here who is a child of God, and probably even those who have not accepted God, there are things in your life that you're ashamed of, right? There are things that you've done or things that you've said that you'd be embarrassed to say again or to do again. You know, we're ashamed of things in life. And Paul says that. He says, you were servants of sin. And why would you even want to go back to those things that you were ashamed of? That's what happens when we turn back on God. He says, because that brings death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are servants of God now. Again, we have this salvation experience. We have this turning away from God. We are justified. We have received the atonement of God in our lives. And we are now servants to righteousness. We are free from sin. When before we were servants of sin and free from righteousness, now we're servants of righteousness and free from sin. And we have turned our back on those things that we're now ashamed of, that past life, because we realize that the wages of that is death. That leads to death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many religions try to claim that we all end up at the same place. We talked about that just a little bit in the Sunday school, out of studying into all kinds of religions and the pagan practices. And, you know, if we're not careful, that fascination can lead us to away from a saving faith in Christ into thinking that we pretty much all, you know, they all have their good points. And so it's just whatever you want to choose. And that's what Satan would want us to have. If you live a good life and do a lot of good deeds, you'll end up in heaven. And if you don't, well then, yeah, you end up in hell. And there's some that even say that hell is not a real place. You know, you may suffer for a little bit, and then God lets you go, and that's the end of it. Well, we know that that's not the message of the Bible. It's clear that without Jesus, there's no hope of heaven or eternal life. Without a saving knowledge of God, without experiencing forgiveness of sins, justification by faith, and an atonement, there is no hope of heaven. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Peter told that to the crowd back there, and it's just as true today. There's no other salvation. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Not all religions lead to heaven, and not all teachings lead to heaven. We are deceived if we fall for that trap. John 3:16. We'll read verses 14 to 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to present a better way. you know, we sometimes people look at it that way. Well, you know, your way is probably a little better, but after all, they all lead to the same. So, you know, if I choose this, well, you know, I'm just choosing maybe not quite so good a way, but we'll all end up the same. No, Jesus didn't come to just merely present a better way to heaven. You know, you can live a better life and you can live. No, he came to save us from our sins. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to us to send everyone to hell, but that the world through him might be saved. John 5:11-12, and this is a record that God hath given us to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. So God didn't merely come to present a better way. That was not Jesus' purpose, although Hebrews tells us it is a better way than the Old Testament sacrifices and those, but it is the only way to salvation. It is the only way to eternal life, and it is the only way to heaven. And so when people try to say that all roads lead to the same place, that's not true. And we understand that in a physical sense. If we go out and get on 55 and head south, we're never going to get to Chicago or any other place that 55 north goes to, because we're heading the wrong way, even though that road goes that way. But we're going the wrong way down the road. If we get on 98, there's a lot of places that we'll never reach, that people on different routes that are on the right road towards the town that we're trying to get to will get to. And so we understand that in a physical sense, and that's we have to get on the way, the way that Jesus, the way that, yeah, through Jesus is the only way to God. And it's just as simple as 1 John says, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. And so it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we can experience eternal life. Number four, I've labeled victory over death. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, we'll start reading at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? He says the victory comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now death, there is a sting of death, and that came as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden. We go back to the beginning of time, Genesis 3, we read about how death came on all men. And earlier in this chapter, Paul talks about that. As an Adam, death came, and through Christ, we're going to be made alive. And through Adam's transgression, death came upon all men. But through Christ, he brings life through to all men who follow him. And so there is that sting of death. It's a consequence of sin. Death is a consequence of sin. And God had told Adam and Eve that right from the beginning. If you eat of this fruit, you will die. And we know the story of how Eve was deceived into thinking that they wouldn't die. And Adam also partook of that in disobedience to God. And so death passed upon all men. And since then, all have come under death. And death is not something that is even rosy for the Christians necessarily. In other words, we don't. There is, I think, a natural apprehension. As we think of death, there's a lot of unknown. The Bible reveals different things about it, but it doesn't lay it out very clear as to actually what happens when we draw our last breath. as far as, yeah, because it's a little bit like going maybe to a new church the first time, and we know no one there, and we show up, and you know, there's apprehension. What's it going to be like? Are we going to, you know? And so that's the way death is. There's so much unknown, and so there is a natural apprehension to it, but it doesn't. We don't have to face it with fear because of what Christ has done. Hebrews 2:14-16, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And so how does Christ give us the victory over death? Well, Hebrews lays it out right here. He came as a man. He came, he took part of flesh and blood. He became like us in his physical makeup so that he could die. And it says he, through his death, he would destroy him that had the power over death. That is Satan. And so as we think of what all that Christ did in his death and resurrection, it gives us hope of life. It gives us hope of a resurrection. It gives us hope that we don't have to be subject to fear of death anymore. While we may face it with apprehension, there's not that fear, there's not that dread that, of what is going to happen, that we are going to go unprepared. And I think that we can, again, it's through Christ's death and resurrection, it's through justification by faith, it's through the atonement we receive through Jesus Christ, that this fear of death is gone now. And Paul brings that out there in 1 Corinthians. He says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can experience victory over death. So while we still face death, we can face it without fear, because it is our pathway to eternity with Christ. And we know that in the end, death will be no more. 1 Corinthians 15, we back up to verses 24 to 26. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so when Christ comes again, when we have that eternity, the new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, there's no more death. That last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. And so when someone in our family dies, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. That's what the scripture tells us, because we have hope of seeing them again. We have hope. And so the sting of death is gone. While we sorrow that they are not here with us, it is not a sorrow that we are never going to see again. We are never going to meet again. There is that hope, there is that longing, and we know that we have victory over death through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is a blessed hope that is only available to the child of God. Other than that, there is a sorrow. And the last one, number 5, let's go back to Romans 16. I've called this one, Bring Glory to God. We bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. We'll read verses 25 to 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, we can live lives that bring honor and glory. We honor God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We bring God glory. And he talks about this revelation of the mystery. and that is the coming of Christ, the revelation of salvation through Jesus. It was a mystery. The prophets, Peter tells us, the prophets, I think it's in Peter, where they sought to look into that. They wondered about it. The angels wondered about what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, how this would all come about. And he says, that's made known to us in the coming of Christ. And it's manifest through us throughout the world, to all nations, for the obedience of faith. Then he ends up, he says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, through Jesus Christ forever. And, you know, that praise, that honor that comes from our lives as we give our lives to Christ, as we live for Jesus Christ our Lord, in obedience to his word, it brings honor and glory to God. It is because of what Jesus has done for us at Calvary that we can bring praises to God. We can live lives that glorify God. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's our purpose in life. That is our goal in life, should be our goal in life, is to show forth the praises of him who has saved us, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if that is our goal here in this life, it will be manifest much more when we get to heaven. Revelation 5, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us, unto our God, kings, made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them, all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And we have a couple of scenes like that in heaven where there's great numbers of people praising God and glorifying God because he alone is worthy. And it all starts with our lives here. If we want to take part in worship in heaven, we need to start worshiping him here. Our lives need to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I trust each of us, as we, not only on Sunday morning as we gather together, that we worship him, but throughout the week, we seek to honor him with our actions, with our words, the songs we sing, the things that we do, bring honor and praise to him through Christ Jesus. And it's only through Christ Jesus that our lives can do that. And so I trust as we come to the end of this service, we would consider all that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that our lives will show forth his praise. Thomas Chisholm wrote this song, only in thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine, peace that the world, though all combine, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth, so seemingly sweet, fail at the last my longings to meet. Only in thee my bliss is complete, only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee a radiance bright shines like a beacon in the night, guiding my pilgrim bark aright over life's trackless sea. Only in thee, when troubles molest, when with temptation I am oppressed, there is a sweet pavilion of rest. Only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee, when days are drear, when neither sun nor stars appear, still I can trust and never fear, sing when I cannot see. Only in thee, whatever betide, all of my needs is freely supplied. There is no help nor helper beside, only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee, dear Savior, slain, losing thy life, my own to gain, trusting I'm cleansed from every stain, thou art my only plea. Only in thee my heart will delight, till in that land where cometh no night, faith will be lost in heavenly sight. only, dear Lord, in thee. Let's kneel for prayer.